WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What's up, beautiful people? Yes, it is Thursday, December 4th, 2014. So glad and honored that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Folks, we got a ton to talk about today. In just a moment, I'll be chatting with Michigan State football and men's basketball beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, Joe Rexrode. Joe is going to break down exactly what went wrong last night for the Michigan State men's basketball team as they really relinquished another opportunity to get a W against a formidable opponent, Notre Dame. Yes, Michigan State and Tom Izzo fall to Notre Dame last night. Joe will have his thoughts and what do they need to do to improve as the season now moves on. They have five straight home games now. Certainly a stretch to get their mojo back. We'll also bring Throwback Thursday to you and a pretty special accomplishment for Barry Sanders on this day. Of course, Barry Sanders, one of the all-time greatest running backs, used to play for the Detroit Lions. And we're asking you all to call in and give us your favorite Barry Sanders moment, folks. 517-355-9527. We'll have all of that and so much more, but let's start the show like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, brought to you by the one, the only, Andrew Hayes.
I'm Andrew Hayes, and here are your quick hit headliners for December 4th, 2014. In their first matchup in 35 years, the number 19-ranked Spartans fell to the unranked Fighting Irish in a 79-78 overtime thriller. Denzel Valentine scored 22 points, and Brandon Dawson added 16 points and 18 rebounds, but it wasn't enough to overcome the Notre Dame scoring duo of Jaron Grant and Demetrius Jackson, who combined for 49 of the Irish's 79 points. The number 16-ranked Lady Spartans will tip off tonight against Georgia Tech at 7 p.m. in the Breslin Center. Michigan State will try to stay hot as they have won their last three games by an average of 27 points a game. They will look to continue their domination of the glass as well, averaging 45 rebounds a game, which is good enough for second in the nation. In response to Devin Gardner's consoling of JT Barrett after his injury in Saturday's game, Ohio State Director of Development and Community Relations, Dave Claiborne, sent Gardner an appreciative letter. In the letter, Claiborne thanked Gardner for his incredible display of sportsmanship and even gave him credit for the poise and maturity Barrett displayed this year for the Buckeyes. Former Detroit outfielder Torrey Hunter, who recently signed a one-year, $10.5 million contract with the Twins, ripped a news reporter in his introductory press conference with the team. After the reporter asked about Hunter's support of an Arkansas governor-elect, referring to his views on gay marriage, Hunter called the reporter an obscenity and refused to answer, saying he would leave those topics for when he retired. The Pistons dropped their 10th straight last night as they lost 109-96 to the Boston Celtics in overtime. Greg Monroe led Detroit with 29 points off the bench. The Pistons could not stop Boston's Jeff Green, who had a game-high 32 points and went 6-for-10 from three-point. Detroit has not won back-to-back games in nearly a month. The Pistons will look to break their losing streak this Saturday as they take on the lowly Philadelphia 76ers. Game time is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. Speaking of Philadelphia, the 76ers avoided tying the NBA record for most losses to start a season last night with an 85-77 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. The win snapped an 0-17 start to their season. Former Colorado State head football coach Jim McElwain has agreed to coach the Florida Gators next season. Negotiations had slowed this week after the two schools could not agree upon who should pay McElwain's $7.5 million contract buyout. While it is unclear which school ended up paying the money, the deal was finalized and announced this morning on Florida's Twitter account. Ravens defensive tackle and five-time Pro Bowler Haloti Ngata has been suspended for the remainder of the season for violating the NFL's drug policy. Ngata is another in a line of several NFL players to be suspended for using the drug Adderall. Ngata said in a statement, quote, I took Adderall and take full responsibility for doing this. I am deeply sorry and broken up over this. I let down my family, my teammates, Ravens fans, and myself. Those are your quick hit headliners for December 4th. Now back to Al to start the show. Phone lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Andrew. Appreciate that. And there is one other extended headliner that I definitely have to mention here. Nebraska has just hired Mike Riley as head football coach. Riley, who's 61 years old, he comes from Oregon State, at which he coached since 2003, after a three-year stint as head coach of the San Diego Chargers. Now, he will be introduced as the head coach during a news conference on Friday morning. He will not be involved with any bowl preparation. So there you have that, folks. Well, we've got a ton to talk about on the show. Again, as you just heard from Andrew, our phone lines are open, and they will stay open all the way up until 2 o'clock, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And, folks, hey, you know we give away tickets just about each and every home game for the MSU women's basketball team, the men's basketball team, and the hockey team as well. Tonight, Michigan State, again, as you just heard from Andrew, Michigan State will take on Georgia Tech down at the Breslin Center. And, folks, if you want to win tickets to that game tonight, call in. We're going with Alex, caller number two. Caller number two who calls in will win those very tickets. So if you want to call in and enjoy some MSU women's basketball tonight against Georgia Tech, again, that's a 7 p.m. tip-off at the Brez, 517-355-9527. Well, folks, you know, I want to bring up this to start the show. I want to, you know, start the show on a funny note here. As you just heard, you know, Torrey Hunter, now former Detroit Tiger, he recently signed a one-year $10.5 million contract with the Minnesota Twins. Very good stuff for Torrey, because, again, this is a team that that he started his career with. Torrey Hunter, he's such, you know, one of the classiest guys you'll ever come across. One of the really nice characters and funny characters in all of baseball. Torrey, though, had a moment with one of a reporter. As you heard from Andrew, he ripped a news reporter in his introductory press conference with the team. Folks, we have the audio of that. Alex, can we cue that up and play it right now?
The marriage question, is that the kind of thing that going forward you're not going to mess with, or are you just such an open, honest guy that if we ask you a question, you're going to answer it?
No, there's nothing to talk about. You already know, you know, so why keep talking about it? I said it. It is what it is. Hey, Mike is kind of a huh? No, seriously, you're a man. I don't even know you. You're a seriously. Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. That's your job. Jim? It's definitely a though. Jim?
Folks, if you have not seen that press conference in that moment, it's pretty funny. It is pretty funny. Now, what had happened was, you know, one of the reporters in the media had asked about Hunter's support of an Arkansas governor-elect, referring to their views on gay marriage, and just kept poking the bear. And then Hunter, you know, he definitely answered the question and talked about how after his career he'll explain everything. But right now it's not about that. It's about, you know, him signing with the Minnesota Twins. It's about baseball right now. So he did answer the question, but just right on the brink of the next question getting asked, he went on that rant and ripped that news reporter. So, but hey, Torrey, it's a funny bite, I don't think he meant any ill intention there. He was just kind of caught up in the moment, speaking his mind. But, man, you know, hey, Torrey, he's just doing his job. I definitely see where he's coming from. Maybe that wasn't the time nor the place to ask that question. You know, what I'm assuming is, because normally when you get questions like this, there's been moments when sitting in on Mark D'Antonio's press conferences, on Tom Izzo's press conferences, and so on and so forth, you may get a news reporter there or two. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not all about the X's and O's with them. They're trying to go there for a story beyond the game. And I think this may have been a news reporter maybe trying to write an article about Torrey Hunter and not just signing a one-year deal with the Minnesota Twins. So he had a job to do. He had to ask the question. Torrey didn't take too kindly about it and had that hilarious bite. Alex, that bite is so hilarious. I want to save that bite just throughout our entire time here on Current Sports, day after day after day, and I'll just play that randomly just to sparken up my mood sometimes. That's funny stuff, folks. All right, well, in just a moment, folks, if you didn't catch the MSU men's basketball game last night, they took on Notre Dame. It was a game in which, again, MSU, and another opportunity at the start of the season here to etch a win against a formidable opponent in Notre Dame. This is the first time they've played, folks, since the 70s, I believe 1979 to be exact, when MSU was on that road, of course, to win a national championship. But, you know, again, first matchup in 35 years, Spartans taking on an unranked team in the Fighting Irish, which, again, rankings go out the window, especially in college basketball, because anybody can be beaten on any given day. I tell you, this Notre Dame team is much better than that record alludes to. That Jerian Grant kid, he's pretty good. He made a few moves that were NBA-type moves, folks. How about Demetrius Jackson? He also had a solid game. I tell you what, this Notre Dame team, they brought it to Michigan State, and Michigan State just seemed lost a few times throughout that game. And I want to get your thoughts on it. What exactly went wrong with the MSU men's basketball team yesterday? If you got any questions for Joe Rexrow, we're going to be giving him a call in a second. He'll be on the show in exactly 5 minutes here, folks. Again, if you want to call in, 517-355-9527. I have Andrew Hayes actually in the studio with me as we speak. Andrew, a really tough game for this MSU men's basketball team. They're coming off that game to Kansas, a game in which they let that one really just slip right through their hands. They go to overtime against Notre Dame. What did you see in that game last night?
I've seen what I've seen from pretty much every single game so far this year for Michigan State, and that's just spurts of flat-out, completely and totally impotent offense. And it seems to be right about when teams decide that they're not going to let Michigan State shoot a three-pointer anymore. When teams really start pressing, and they start guarding from half court to baseline, and that's been the defensive scheme to stop Michigan State this year. And as soon as that happens, State goes on just catastrophic dry spells, and I don't understand what is the cause of that other than they rely so much on shooting.
No, I 120% agree with you, Andrew, and that's what exactly my take on it as well. I've said throughout this season thus far for this team that they rely so much on that three-pointer, and it's something I'm going to pick the brain about with Joe Rexrow in just a minute, because this is a different team than what we're used to seeing from a Tom Izzo coach team. Usually, you got that one or two big man that you can give it to, that you can dump it down low, that can give you a relative consistent production throughout an entire 40 minutes of basketball. Right now, you're starting to see those bigs struggle. You don't know what you're going to get. Even though Brandon Dawson, I got to tell you, Brandon Dawson had a great response to Izzo's challenge after really not showing up throughout that Kansas game. I thought Brandon Dawson played great. But other than that, I mean, you look at the rest of the production from the bigs, and it's kind of head-scratching. You know, Gavin Schilling, he gave you moments. But again, it wasn't consistent throughout the entire game. Matt Costello, I mean, what, he had 4 points, not many rebounds. And, you know, Marvin Clark Jr., he barely played. I believe he etched in 4 minutes. So right now, the bigs aren't producing. Michigan State, again, they're firing up many three-pointers. And when you're playing against a team who can settle in and really lock in behind that arc and force you to make those threes with a hand in your face, then things can start to change. Michigan State's free throw disparity so far throughout this year, looking at how many free throws they shot last night and compared to every single game so far this year, they are not getting to the line. And a lot of that comes with them falling in love with the jump shot. They're not attacking the paint. They're not creating contact. And in essence, they're not winning games because of that too. That's also another aspect. And right now, you know, I think right now for this Michigan State team, something I also wanted to harp on about last night's game, they are successful when they push the ball. I think Michigan State in transition, I think they're one of the best transition teams in the nation right now. I think when because ideally, you know, it sort of reminds me, if I had to equate it to something or to a coaching style of play, in many ways, I think that this right now, the makeup of this team and the way they play reminds me sort of like a Mike D'Antoni coach team. If you look at Mike D'Antoni, he's an NBA coach, a former NBA coach, used to coach the Phoenix Suns, especially with the Phoenix Suns. I mean, they were the true essence of it when they had Steve Nash, Leandro Barbosa, Sean Marion on that team. I mean, they were a get-out-and-run team and just fire up whatever you can get. And because in transition, things are happening at such a fast pace that to stop guys in transition, especially when they're so athletic. The athleticism on this Michigan State basketball team makes it tough for anybody to guard them in transition. They have to take advantage of that because that's the easy buckets they've been getting. Am I right, Andrew?
I agree. But I think in order for that to really truly take off in Michigan State's transition game to become as good as it was last year or somewhat close to it, Tum Tum needs to be willing to shoot the basketball.
Right. He does look tentative, doesn't he?
And I don't want him taking 15-foot jump shots because from what I've seen so far, his jump shot is not good.
Right.
And it's not productive. But going to the basket and putting it up, just throw it at the rim.
Right.
Draw some contact. Get those free throw numbers up.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Take the Kalen Lucas model. Just go and get hit and take your two shots.
Right.
That's what needs to happen. And so far, and I think part of it is Tum Tum is not ready to play in college basketball, in my opinion.
Right now. Because he doesn't, when he's out there, and talk about Tum Tum for a second. I mean, when he's out there, it seems as though he's just trying to get everyone else involved.
Exactly.
Not looking for a shot. He's just kind of going with the flow of the game. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It reminds me of when I first started playing varsity basketball. I'm just trying to fit in at this point. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
As far as him finding himself in the offense, again, what they're lacking is that dribble drive penetration to create some easy buckets possibly. And again, to get to the foul line, he can be that guy. And I think Trice can be that guy as well, because I feel as though Trice sometimes falls in love with that jump shot. But, you know, we'll see. Folks, we want to get your thoughts on it. What do you think about MSU's stint last night against Notre Dame? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And right now, we now invite Michigan State football and men's basketball beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, Joe Rexrow, to analyze and dissect last night's game. Joe, how you doing?
Good, Al. Heading back now from South Bend. But, yeah, it was interesting game, a really fun game, good game, and another missed opportunity for Michigan State.
Yes, certainly. You were definitely in the house last night at Notre Dame, and you're just now driving back. Again, the first matchup, pretty cool, because the first matchup in 35 years for the Spartans and Fighting Irish on the hardwood. I mean, Joe, what was your take on last night's game? Again, MSU lets another one just slip away.
Yeah, it just it looked like they were in control, 52-45 after Tum Nairn with a nice little pass to Dawson for a dunk. Dawson is just all over the boards, and he's having one of those high motor nights. Bryn Forbes can't miss. It looked like Michigan State was in a really strong position to win that game, and that is a good team. That's a win that would have been a real nice win in March. I think Notre Dame, especially with those two guards, Jerian Grant, Demetrius Jackson, good team. And then late in the game, couple of real bad turnovers, couple defensive lapses, leaving Jerian Grant all on for a three. So really, it looked like the game was getting away from him. Valentine hits those threes late to basically force overtime. But late in the game, I just thought Notre Dame was having a much easier time getting shots than Michigan State was. And so you have to credit Notre Dame's defense, but also I think you were just touching on it. I mean, Michigan State in the half court, late in the shot clock, right now does not have just an obvious option, and it's been really a lot of years since that was the case for a Tom Izzo team.
Yeah, exactly, Joe, and that's my next point I want to make it and kind of pick your brain about. Again, that half-court offense is so glaring, a need sort of for a go-to guy. They seem lost at times down the stretch, relying on what I caught last night, kind of bailout shots. I mean, Denzel Valentine with that, dribble to the right, as shot clock's winding down, that three-pointer, then the high bouncing three that somehow finds the bottom of the net. I mean, where do the offensive woes need to improve at in the half-court? And, Joe, how do they do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, for one thing, I mean, there are just some limitations. I mean, just think about this. For the past 7 years, either Keith Appling or Kalen Lucas was on a Michigan State team to, when it came down to it, time as a, play a set breaks down, the other team's checking it well, you got 10 seconds left, you go to the top of the key, you give them a ball screen, and you say, go. And those guys could create, they could get by people, they could get to the rim, they could pull up, especially Lucas, pull up with a nice mid-range or find someone if the defense collapsed on them. And they just don't have a guy like that. But I think Valentine, I mean, man, like you said, those threes, the first one bounced high and kind of lucked out. That second one was a tough shot to make. He was really fading right I was you know, behind that play on the, behind the other basket, and that's a very tough shot to make.
Right.
But I think it's probably got to be him. He is not super quick. Isn't a guy who's just going to blow by people, but he's got that crafty game, so he can still get places with the dribble. Obviously, has great vision, and his shot has improved so much. But it's still, you know, this team lacks that inside-out thing, too. I mean, for so many years, they could throw into Draymond Green. They could throw into Derrick Nix. They could throw into Adrian Payne, get to the line, kick out for an open shot, you know, get a post-up basket. And they don't have that guy either. I think Brandon Dawson at times looks like he could do more in the post, but and the big guys at times are playing well, but they don't have a guy that I think they feel comfortable, like, put it in his hands, and you know he'll make the right decision.
Yeah, that is certainly true. And, you know, the response from Brandon Dawson after that subpar performance against Kansas, you know, was an emphatic one. I mean, 18 rebounds, 16 points. Those type of performances are integral on a consistent basis for this team to be successful. Am I right?
No question. But, you know, if we know anything from Brandon Dawson's career, it's that he's going to have nights like that. And, you know, I'm sure before this season's out, there will be a couple more times at least where he doesn't have a night like that. And maybe it costs Michigan State, and Tom Izzo, you know, has more film sessions with him about, you know, where your motor was lacking here and here and here. I think Izzo's right that self-evaluating is tough for most players, and it's obviously been tough for him. But, yeah, last night you bottle up some of what he did and you bring it to every game, and this team absolutely improves because of that.
You know, Joe, I was actually reading your piece in yesterday's paper, and you had a really nice article on Brandon Dawson and just how Izzo has had to talk to him just so many times throughout his entire MSU career. What do you think throughout Brandon Dawson's entire career here at Michigan State, why do you think they haven't gotten that consistent type of performance from him throughout his career? What has it been? Why hasn't he gotten it yet?
I just think some guys are just, people are wired differently, right? And you know, from the start, I think it was his freshman year, maybe it was his sophomore year, but Izzo pointed to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at Kentucky and said, see, that guy goes absolutely 100 miles an hour all the time. That's what you need to do. But, you know, I think Brandon Dawson could sit there and say, well, I was playing hard here and here and here. I said, but you could have done more. You could have, you know, you weren't playing frenzied, you know, and when he does, mm-hmm. then it's like, well, he can dominate a game without being a scorer at all, without being a shooter. And you saw that in the postseason last year, right? I mean, he just was everywhere. And then, interesting enough, doing all that stuff, all of a sudden he started hitting some shots too. I think it all kind of rises together at times for him, but then it falls at times too. So I don't think it'll ever be where it's just every single he's doing it. But I do think more and more he's doing it than he was, certainly as a sophomore. And you can look back and say maybe coming off the knee, that was a factor there too. But I do think Dawson sometimes gets frustrated when his shot doesn't fall. And then here and there, even last night, he was great, but then he also missed a cutout on a free throw late in the game that was big. So still those little half-second lapses that can cost you, he just hasn't been able to eliminate all those.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with Joe Rexroad of the Detroit Free Press. Now, Joe, you know, I tell you what, a guy who was having a really, really good game last night, I mean, who was just in a complete zone. I mean, he was in the middle of the boat, in the middle of the ocean, and just hitting water every single time, Joe. Bryn Forbes was great last night. It seemed as though, I mean, he just kind of just kind of went poof. I just think they just kind of went away from him down the stretch of that game. I mean, why did he kind of disappear in that game?
Well, you know, he was at one point, he's 7-for-7 with 9 minutes left in the game. He has 18 points. And like you said, I don't think he would have missed any reasonable shot the rest of the game.
Right.
And so, I mean, look, I was watching their sets. There is no doubt that they were running sets trying to ultimately get him a shot. I mean, they ran a lot of them. And Notre Dame did a great job. Notre Dame just stopped helping off him and said, you know, you're going to switch on the screens. You're going to, you know, we are going to have someone planted on him. And to their credit, they did a good job with that. But, well, still, you've got to get him shots one way or the other. And I think one thing right now that's limiting with him is he just really isn't putting the ball on the floor. Maybe he's not able to quite as well as normal because of the injury. Because when teams are going to do that, then you have to make them pay that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, but I agree. I mean, a lot of these sets, they would try to get it to him, and then it would then come down to Valentine or Trice with, that's a great term, you have bailout shots at the end. And that's where they don't have that guy to just penetrate. But there were a couple times Forbes caught the ball out there, and maybe they were deep shots, maybe they weren't great shots. He should have still launched them. I mean, you got to.
Yeah, you got to put it up. Because if you look at his stat line, Joe, I mean, he was perfect. 7 for 7, 4 of 4 from three-point line. I mean, he didn't miss last night.
No, I know. I mean, it could have been a 30-point night.
Right.
And, yeah, I think Notre Dame wisely said we can't let him have any more looks. But that's where either he has to do a better job of getting open, they have to, you know, Trice has to do a better job of getting the ball right when he needs it, or they got to call something else to get him a shot. But, yeah, I can't remember too many times where I saw a guy having that kind of night and then doesn't get a shot for 14 minutes.
Yeah, that is certainly true, Joe, to say the least. All right, Joe, we have a question for you from one of our callers here. Apache was on line one with a question for Joe. How you doing, Apache? You're on Current Sports.
I'm doing good. Thanks. Mr. Rex, I got a football question and a basketball question. The basketball, I predicted that Valentine was going to be the Big Ten Player of the Year because I thought toward the end of last year he had realized how effective he was dribble penetrator. I'm not seeing that this year, and I'm wondering if he's being straddled or what, because when you dribble penetrate, of course you collapse the defense and you open up other shooters and you draw fouls and just good things happen. The best example is Michigan player Spike. Spike doesn't even shoot when he dribble penetrates, but the defense collapses and he opens up other players, even within a 4 or 5 foot shot. I'd like you to comment on that because I really think that he could dominate the Big Ten if he starts to emphasize, not just once in a while, but emphasize dribble penetration and helping the other guys because obviously they lack a half-court offense. With the Michigan search for a coach, I've always been impressed with that former coach at Boise State, Mr. Peterson. I think he's in the Pac-12 now, and he's at one of the Washington universities. What's the possibility, you think, that they would be interested in stealing him from the Pac-12 and having him coach in the Big Ten? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Apache. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I'll start with the second one. That's a name I had not heard. That's a good name. And he's at UW. He's at Washington recently. I think was this his first year Washington? My thing with him would be just he's always been a West Coast guy. And sometimes, sometimes it's hard to get a guy like that to go to a totally new recruiting region and start over, and he just is starting over there. So I guess I wouldn't think he's a high possibility, but it's another good coach. There are a lot of them out there for Michigan. Look, I like Kyle Whittingham, who's also out west at Utah. I think he's a good coach, and he's a defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be interesting. As far as Valentine, I think that's a great point. You know, last year he was probably more of a penetrator, creator. You know, last year, for one thing, he's surrounded by pros, and so there's just less emphasis on stopping him. Also, it was much more his role to get other guys shots. This year, it's much more his role to hit shots. And right now, teams, you know, I think this could change. I think teams might start defending him differently if he keeps shooting the way he's shooting, and then you open up the drive more. But right now, he's still getting looks out there, and this team needs, you know, people to hit those shots. So he's taking the outside shot. He's been hot lately. He's more in the mindset of a 2 or 3, you know, wing guy shooting the ball. His assists are down because of that. But yeah, I do think that if he keeps shooting like this, then that opens up more of his game, and he can probably do more penetrating, kicking, things like that. And as far as Big Ten Player of the Year, I mean, I do look at him and think that next year he's going to be one of the top candidates. I don't know about this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that probably has to do with how well Michigan State does in the Big Ten. But, yeah, his role is definitely changing. When you're not surrounded by great players anymore and you're being asked to score more, then you do less, or so far he has done less of the things that really are his bread and butter.
Right. That is true. So do you think he will emerge as possibly that go-to guy, Joe?
I mean, I just think it makes the most sense. He is a guy who, because he's big, he's strong, he's crafty with the ball. Again, he's not super quick, but he's crafty. He can get around guys. He can get in there and do things. And the way he's shooting the ball, you know, I mean, I think it's either Valentine or Trice with the ball. Now, Trice is the point guard, I just think Valentine has more ability to do things with the ball. And then also, if it's him and the defense does collapse, then, you know, it's good to have Trice spotting up, maybe more than with the ball and a ball screen, because Trice just, for the most part, and he's pretty limited to, I mean, what he's going to do almost every time is he's going to do that little jab step, the crossover, and he's going to put up a step back three.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He can hit that shot, but I think you have more options with a Valentine with the ball. So I do think that it's probably going to trend that way.
Now, John, I briefly want to hit on the identity of this this team this year, because I feel as though it's so different from Tom Izzo coached teams of the past. I mean, relying so much on the three-point line, at least so far this season, and frankly, a team with a lot of guys who can't hit that three ball. But I feel just like at times, Joe, that they rely on it too much. I feel like they're falling in love with the arc a little too much. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, and again, it's like you said, a lot of threes and not a lot of free throws. And there's got to be more penetration, getting into the heart of the defense. And then again, even with the shooting, you're right. This team has a lot of shooters, and the shooting would be better if you, the more inside out shots you can get. That's always a higher percentage it makes,
right,
on the inside out pass versus the swing around the perimeter. So, yeah, I do. I think they do fall in love with it too much. They're overly reliant on it at times. And, you know, we talked about Forbes earlier. I think he's a guy. I mean, the teams are going to really start trying to take him away at the three line and chase him away from that. And that's where he's got to be able to put it on the floor and, make teams pay, get to the rim, get to the line. So, and Tum-Tum, we haven't talked about Tum-Tum much, but he is a guy who is quick, who can get in there. And he needs to gain more confidence and do more of that, too, do more attacking.
Yeah, that is very, very true. And, you know, it is expected in maybe, 2 weeks that Javon Best could possibly return. When he does, what can he bring to the table for this team, Joe?
Well, the biggest thing that he'll bring will be he's exactly the kind of defender Tom Izzo loves, because he's got length. He wants to defend. He's tough. He's got foot speed. I think he's a guy who eventually will be a really good defender at Michigan State. Offensively, I mean, he's not a shooter. I know he's worked hard on his shot, but you're not going to see him make a lot of outside shots. You will see him. He can slash. Again, he's long. He can get to the basket. He's pretty quick. So I think, in transition, he'll be good. I think he can rebound a little bit. He'll be good on defense. And I think as long as he can get back to what he was in the summer before he got hurt, then, yeah, I think he'll ultimately cement himself in that rotation and become a good player. I think he's the definition of a glue guy. But this team can use that. This team has to get better defensively, and so that's why I think he'll matter.
All right. Well, now MSU, really, I mean, missing another opportunity to try and etch a win against a formidable team. They play the next five games against competition that they are highly favored against. I mean, how can a team like this get better against competition like this, Joe?
Well, the big thing is in the practices. I mean, that's where it has to, in these practices every day, they get Aaron Harris that they get to try to check, who's, of course, going to be eligible next year. And, they've got enough depth that they can have some good practices. They've got to work on their timing on offense. They've got to get better at executing the half court. Got to get better at half court defense, too. So maybe the competition isn't going to help them a lot, but I think this much time of being able to work on them, having the low-pressure games, and, weaving those guys in, more Alvin Ellis, and then bring Javon Best back in and start to figure out what they want to do with the rotation. When those guys come in, now you're talking about 10 guys, and he's not going to go with a 10-man rotation. So, there's some more competition here for minutes about to happen, too.
Yeah, that is certainly true. All right, Joe, before I let you get out of here and continue to travel back back safely to Mitt, Michigan, I got to ask you, throw out one football question for you. Got to ask you, what bowl does MSU football play in? And do you agree with the top four teams in college football right now, with Bama, Oregon, TCU, and Florida State?
Yeah, I think that's a good I don't know if I'd rank them that way. It's kind of surprising. I mean, I know Florida State has not looked great. But still undefeated team. I was surprised to see them duck four, but I think that's the right top four right now.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I do. As far as Michigan State, it looks like the Orange Bowl. I think it's going to be the Orange Bowl as long as Alabama does not lose to Missouri. If Alabama loses to Missouri and falls out of the playoff, Alabama's going to get that Rose Bowl spot as the highest-ranked SEC or Big Ten non-champion. If Alabama wins, I think even if Ohio State loses, I think Ohio State will fall behind Michigan State against Georgia Tech in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I have to do as well. All right, well, we'll certainly see. All right, hey, Joe, thanks a lot for your time. Again, Joe Rexroth, Michigan State football and men's basketball beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Hey, Joe, drive safe, my man.
Okay, will do. Thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
All right. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, it's Thursday. We'll hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. You don't want to miss that, and we'll reminisce on one of the greatest to ever do it on the gridiron. Folks, I'm talking about Barry Sanders. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Joe Rexroth of the Detroit Free Press breaking down last night's Michigan State and Notre Dame game. Michigan State, again, letting another opportunity to etch a win against a pretty good opponent just kind of slip through their fingers. They'll have a five-game home stretch where they will they're definitely highly favored against all of these teams. You know, just a moment to you know, pad that record a little bit, get that record back to where it needs to be. So definitely have that. Also, we have did we give away the tickets, Alan? Do we have a caller number two at all? We'd still have our tickets ready if you want to call in and enjoy the Michigan State and Georgia Tech game tonight. You can call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to win those tickets and head to the Breslin tonight. While you guys are doing that, let's get to our Throwback Thursday segment, where each and every Thursday we hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at what happened in sports history on this Thursday, December 4th. Let's take a look.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots, yes. Goal! And there it goes! You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, folks. Yes, it is Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports. A lot happening on this Thursday. A pretty busy Thursday in sports. All right, so let's start here. If my browser ever loads, I tell you, folks, my laptop has been giving me the blues today. Come on, would you load, please? Let's start with 1943. I believe that's where I want to start. You know what? Okay, this is really not working right now. Andrew, is your browser loaded right now? Hold on, dude. Can we turn Andrew on, Alex? I tell you, this is when technology goes wrong here live on the show. Andrew.
My browser's working just fine. I think I'm hooked up to the MSU. I don't know. Does public broadcasting not have as good of
maybe. I need to check because what's going on. I think it's just my laptop. My laptop is actually running out of disk space. I'm liking crucial because I have a lot of videos that I edit for the TV show. And it right now has been giving me the blues, man. So I'm not loaded. But what do we have? You got our rundown up.
Well, I did, and then I was leaving it to the host of the show. So now we're completely off the rails.
Now we are completely off the rails. Alex, can you help us out right now?
Alex has got 17 different people on the phone right now, and we're bugging him to do this.
Those tickets are going fast, man. We actually just got a winner, Al White from Lansing. Congrats,
Al White. Shout out to Al White from Lansing. Congratulations. Enjoy the game tonight. But Alex, have you been listening? We have a problem right now. Our browsers are not loading. And I don't have the rundown up, and I can't give our Throwback Thursday right now. Do you have it up for us right now? We are in crucial mode.
Yeah, I can give the rundown now. I can give this rundown
thank
today.
You. Please
bail us out. In 1943, baseball commissioner Kennesaw Mountain Landis announced that any club was free to employ black players. Obviously big with everything going on with Ferguson and then the New York thing today. So yeah, that's actually a big day.
Can we pause for just a second there and talk about if Bud Selig's name was Kennesaw Mountain Landis, I would respect all of his rulings a million times.
Wait, say that name again. What is that name?
Kennesaw Mountain Landis.
Kennesaw.
Yes.
Mountain Landis. That's the name of the commissioner.
That was
the
name of the commissioner of baseball in 1943.
Wow, that's quite a name. Never heard anyone with that name. All right, Alex, could proceed, my man.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that is a great name. 1997. You remember the man, Latrell Sprewell, the sharp forward, played for the Knicks, but this time he's on Golden State when the NBA suspended him for 1 year for choking and threatening to kill his coach, P.J. Carlissimo.
Wow. Carlissimo, actually. P.J. Carlissimo. I don't remember
P.J. Carlissimo.
Yeah, P.J. was at, he was a big-time coach back in that day, man.
Is he still on ESPN?
I was in my baby years.
I think
he
is. I think P.J. may be on it, because I know he was doing some analyst for, right. Was it college or was
it
NBA?
No, he was doing it for NBA.
It was NBA. I haven't seen him in a while, but yeah, P.J., I mean, I tell you, that was a moment. I think they've, don't quote me on this, but I think they did a 30 for 30 short on that moment where Latrell actually choked his coach. But yeah, that was a moment I'll never forget. Yeah, you said, I mean, we're not too far apart in age. I was, you don't remember that one? That's crazy.
Yeah, I was 5 years old then.
Yeah, man, Sprewell was, Sprewell needed some anger management classes to say the least after that one. All right. What else? Do we have anything else, Alex?
Yeah, in 1997, Barry Sanders set an NFL record for rushing over 100 yards in 12 consecutive games.
Oh,
how
boy.
About that, Al?
Barry Sanders, one of the greatest to ever do it. And that's it. Do we have anything else? If not, that's a perfect segue into our topic for today.
We have one more.
We do have one more. Okay, we do have one more. It's a busy day.
Yeah. Tiger Woods won for the first time on tour in 2011 since his scandal in 2009 with a one-shot victory over Zach Johnson at Chevron World Challenge. So Tiger was back 2011, and it is reported that he is coming back very soon.
He's playing right now. Did you know that? Tiger Woods is playing right now. I forget what tournament it is. It's just kind of a warm-up tournament, but he's playing four rounds starting today. So I will certainly be glued to my phone checking out Tiger Woods and how he's performing because, man, you know, I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan. Huge Tiger. And I've been waiting for this man to come back. That's my alter ego. Al Woods is my alter ego. I wish I played like Tiger Woods. Well, I am playing like Tiger Woods right now. I'm playing like this era's Tiger Woods. But, man, I just hope he comes back and gets back to where he was. It's a stretch because it is golf, and golf is such, you know, it's not a finesse sport. The mind comes in so much. And I think Tiger just has so many distractions on his mind right now. He's thinking a little too much. He's got to relax and play golf. But, yeah, we'll be keeping folks updated on that as well. All right, is Tiger the last one? That's the last one. All right, Tiger Woods is the last one. So this is kind of a perfect segue because, as you just heard, Barry Sanders also with that incredible record on this day in sports history. And, you know, it begs the question because when you talk about Barry Sanders, what Barry Sanders did and was able to do in just 10 seasons in the NFL was truly remarkable. He's actually third on the NFL's all-time rushing list, behind, of course, number one, Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton. And again, just 10 seasons. Emmitt Smith played 15 seasons. Walter Payton, you know, got in 13 seasons. I mean, just imagine Barry Sanders. I guarantee that Barry Sanders will probably be the NFL's all-time leading rusher if he played more years in the NFL. He was such a special player. I believe we have a bite, don't we, Andrew? What is this bite about?
This is Barry Sanders after he broke 2,000 yards in a season. And first of all, before we play the bite, I want to mention, I watched the whole thing, and he had 8 yards for 20 rushes in the first half of that game. In the second half, he had 15 rushes for over 160, including a 53-yard run and a 47-yard run.
Wow.
So he had 100 yards and 2 rushes in that game.
That is you don't see that anymore in today's game. I mean, Barry Sanders is just, I mean, if you look at his highlight tapes, I mean, he was doing stuff that I haven't seen since he played. It's unbelievable. So, let's play that bite.
Well, no, don't get me wrong. I want to go into each game and run for as many yards as I can. And but I just needed to focus on what was important and, you know, playing a complete game. If that means blocking and catching, running routes, whatever, running.
Yeah, that's Barry Sanders, folks. You know, something that stands out to me, guys, when you hear, anytime you hear Barry Sanders talk, and you know, it just had recently, I know a year or even 2 years back, they had this whole Madden 25th anniversary, and Barry was actually going in competition with Adrian Peterson at the time. Barry ended up winning, and he graced the cover of Madden, and they had him on, and you know, he was a guest on a lot of spots on ESPN to different radio shows throughout the entire nation talking about his career and, of course, Madden promoting the game. But you know, something that, you know, that really stands out to me with Barry was just how humble he was. If you go back and listen to any interview, or you know, just listen to him after any post game rant, I mean, Barry Sanders was just really soft spoken, really humble about any record. You didn't see him doing any TD celebrations. After he would score, he would just go to the ref, hand the ball off, and just let his greatness just sort of sink in after what you just witnessed. Barry Sanders, from a humble standpoint, one of the most humble athletes you ever meet in your life, Andrew.
Well, and that was the thing when I was watching, because I tore through a couple different YouTube videos of Barry Sanders looking for something to play. And it's not just because a lot of athletes today are, you know, talk about the team, push, but it seems forced and it seems coached. When it was coming out of Barry Sanders' mouth, it legitimately seemed like he felt uncomfortable talking about himself and using I and me. And that's why when you hear all of his interviews, it's we and us and the team. And that's what's remarkable about it, is we hear that all the time now, I think. And so much of it I have become numb to. So I appreciate when guys say, look at me now, because that's the way I think most guys feel. And if that's the way that you feel, I want to hear it.
Right, exactly. No, that is so true, yeah.
And that's why it's awesome to see Barry Sanders' interviews, because that's actually the way he felt. That's not the way, maybe that's the way his mom told him to act,
right.
But that's not the way some SID or a communications person within an organization told him to speak. That's actually the way he believed he should conduct himself.
110% genuine all the time from Barry Sanders. Gotta love that. And you look at the numbers too. And again, one of the things that sticks out here that sticks out like a sore thumb in this whole conversation of who is the best running back of all time. For me, this is my personal opinion, Barry Sanders to me is the best running back of all time. When you look at what he did in such a short amount of time on the team that he did it with, it's not like this guy is playing for the New England Patriots or the Baltimore Ravens or some team that has a history of dominance. He's playing for a team that's never won a Super Bowl, the Detroit Lions, folks. And looking at his entire, I mean, if you look at Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, I mean, those guys played on some of the greatest teams to ever play on the gridiron. I mean, Emmitt Smith, I mean, his offensive line, well, probably all should be in the Hall of Fame right now, because that offensive line that Emmitt Smith ran in front of, was unbelievable with the Cowboys. Barry Sanders, how many times, and folks, I encourage you to do this too. Go on YouTube, watch a Barry Sanders video, and count how many times have you seen the offensive line break down, Barry have to pull out some magic out the head, change direction, stop on a dime, elude three or four defenders on the way to the end zone. These were not easy runs. Barry Sanders was like playing Madden on a cheat code. It's like he was a creative player or with 99 stats across the board. He was so unbelievable. And again, you don't see highlights from running backs like you did from Barry Sanders anymore. I mean, Barry Sanders was a guy who, it didn't matter how many guys you threw at him, and he was so low to the ground. Barry isn't a tall guy. He was so low to the ground, and his legs were like tree trunks that he could run over you, but he could also hit you with the finesse joint, you know, and juke you out, throw a spin move on you, and bye-bye. Man, I miss watching him play. I really, really wish he played more than 10 seasons. I mean, I tell you what. Thank goodness for YouTube, though, where I can, you know, whenever I have kids, I'll tell them they have to watch a Michael Jordan highlight tape as soon as they're born, and the next one will be Barry Sanders. Okay, folks, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show by talking about probably the most depressing topic out of all the things we talked about here on the show. No, not MSU men's basketball or anything like that. Folks, we'll be talking about the Detroit Pistons. 10 straight losses. Don't tune out. Please don't tune out. We'll be right back. Music is a world within itself. With a language we all understand. Girl, do I do what you do when I do my love to you? Welcome back to Current Sports. Gotta love Stevie Wonder, man. Stevie Wonder, one of my all-time favorite artists. Oh, boy. He was great. Again, it's Throwback Thursday, so Alex is playing some throwback joints for us on this Thursday, seeing as though it's Throwback Thursday. All right, well, we'll wrap the show. We got 10 minutes left in the show. And before I bring up the depressing Detroit Pistons and sort of dissect what they're doing, again, 10 straight losses for the Detroit Pistons. They fall to the Boston Celtics, and I don't know. I'm curious to know what the ratings are going to be when they take on the Philadelphia 76ers. You got two of the worst NBA teams in the entire league, folks. Philadelphia actually got their very first win last night. So they're like, what, 1-14 or 15, something like that? What? 1-17. The Philadelphia 76ers are 1-17, and they'll be taking on the Detroit Pistons, who, again, have only 3 wins this entire season. Before we dive into that, I want to bring in Ray. Ray is on line one. How you doing, Ray? You are on Current Sports.
How you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. How you doing, Ray?
Well, I got a cold. I usually jog 5 miles a day, do 150 push-ups every day. But
oh, man.
My back infected my feet, so I took a break today and yesterday. I got a head cold, so even with the scarf on and stuff, but I'll be all right. Hey,
wow!
I don't usually stay home. I watch TV, but I was before we talk about this. Barry Sanders, you know who he reminds me of? I go way back. Gale Sayers.
Yeah. That's Gale a very Sayers good comparison.
Gale Sayers had a short career, and he was a great, great player.
Right. That is very true. Yeah, they kind of had a similar running styles,
right.
Kind of similar build. Yeah, that's
moves.
A very good comparison, Ray.
Yeah, very good moves. Both of them were fabulous.
Do you have a favorite Barry Sanders memory at all, Ray?
Oh, there's been a lot of them. I mean, like you said, it's just something like Kurt Warner. I mean, he played with a team that really wasn't all that great.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
He got a lot of those yards on his own. I consider him one of the top backs of all time. That's for sure.
Right.
But,
exactly.
Going back to this, I'm afraid the bullies are getting smart down there. I don't know if this guy knows what he's talking about, but this Herd show the time between 12 and 1 o'clock.
The Herd with Colin Cowherd on ESPN?
Yeah, Colin.
He
had a bunch of guests on there today, and he said Michigan fans are going to be very happy over the weekend, blah, blah, blah. And they brought up, it's Les Miles. And they said, no, it ain't Les Miles. And then he said, well, is it the Greg Schiavone, the guy out of Rutgers you were talking about?
Yeah.
He said, no, it ain't him. And then when he said Jim Harbaugh, he said, I can't revert all my sources. So I don't, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But I wonder if Harbaugh didn't talk his wife into going with this deal. You know what gets me about that Florida deal that was just done today? That Florida deal, the new coach.
What's that, Ray? I'm sorry. What's that?
That new coach for Florida.
The new coach for Florida. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. The new coach for Florida. Yeah.
Out of Colorado State. Okay.
Right.
This is how bad these scumbags are. They wanted $7.5 million to buy him out. Okay. They give him $5 million. They negotiated for $5 million, and the other $2.5 million.
Right, Ray, my man. We're actually short on time, so we had to cut Ray off. But Ray, I love Ray, but man, he pushes the envelope a little too far sometimes. And when he said scumbags, I had to say, all right, we gotta take Ray off. We don't like the word scumbag here on Current Sports. But thanks a lot, Ray, for calling in. Some great insight, though. Again, folks, 5 minutes left in the show. 517-355-9527. But yeah, great Barry Sanders memory from him, though. Again, if you got a Barry Sanders memory, I would love to hear it. One of the all-time greats. And again, what's going on with Michigan right now? You know, going back to what Ray had to say about, you know, the search right now, I tell you what, I'm hearing a new name. Like, every hour, I feel like. Every hour, it's just space. I don't know if you guys listen to Jim Rome at all, but Jim Rome had a huge rant on who possibly will be the next coach in the state of the Michigan football program. And I'm hearing a new... At this point, we really don't know. You know, I don't care how many times you come on the air and say, yeah, I got this source, I got that source. I sat on an airplane with this guy. He told me to... We don't know what's going to happen. There are a lot of good candidates out there. I'm completely honest with you. There's a lot of question marks. I do not know who the next head coach of the University of Michigan is going to be. We can only speculate to this point.
God bless you, Al Martin.
Yeah,
God bless you.
I'm real
a man who's willing to admit that he doesn't know anything.
I do have no clue at all. And you know, Alex, I knew this was going to happen too. When Brady Hoke was let go, I'm like, okay, we have opened Pandora's box of discussion, and we are going to hear everyone. And my mom, her name probably came up about this. My mom, if you listen, my uncle who's listening right now, his name probably is going to come up tomorrow about who's going to be the head coach at Michigan. This is a discussion that's never going to end. All we can do is speculate. And we gave out a few names yesterday, Alex, but we really don't know. We really don't know, my man. Am I right?
Yeah, no, you don't know. And the worst is that Florida made a splash. Nebraska made a splash. So now the pressure's on. It's like, Michigan, you're going to make a hire now? Your time's running out. So
right.
It's just going to keep going.
It's just going to keep going. All right. Well, Andrew, let's close out our show on a down note. Let's talk about a team that I am a diehard fan of. I've been a Detroit Pistons fan, you know, since I popped out the womb, my man. And they've been on a downward spiral since they won that NBA championship in 2004. This is a year that I had high hopes for. And I sound like I'm like pronouncing this team dead before they are. Again, it's still the beginning of the year. In an NBA season, you play 82 games. But again, the Pistons have only won 3 games thus far. They have the second worst record in the entire league, only second to, of course, the Philadelphia 76ers, who finally got a win last night. It's bad right now in the city of Detroit, and I see a few areas right now. Right now, I just feel like this team, with all the losses piled up, first off, watching them last night, they seem like a defeated team. This, their body language, they're really playing with no emotion. From a just reading body language standpoint and seeing how they approach games, Detroit looks defeated before they even step out on the hardwood right now. It's a very bad situation. I got to shout out Greg Monroe, a guy whose name in the offseason, his name you saw in many trade rumors. I remember we had Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press here on the show in the summertime when this whole speculation about who Detroit's next head coach would be, and then, you know, Greg Monroe's name kept coming up in trade speculation. Vince Ellis was like, yeah, I think Greg Monroe has got one foot out the door right now. Greg Monroe is playing the best basketball for the red, white, and royal blue that I've seen on this entire team throughout this whole losing streak stretch. Greg Monroe is a guy you can guarantee right now that is going to bring it. But Detroit plays no defense. The offense looks like they're running around with their head cut off, and they have no go-to guy other than Greg Monroe. I think you can double down to Greg Monroe, and they're going to collapse on him, and then he'll do something with a kickout. You talk about the inside and outside game that Joe Rexroth talked about. That he creates offense for you, but I just do not understand why the Pistons continually give the ball to Josh Smith and let him fire up shot after shot after shot. I just don't get it. There's too many question marks on this team. They're going to be hard-pressed to make the playoffs, Andrew.
On the bright side, though, I didn't see the game last night, and I have not been keeping up with the
Pistons basketball. Good. You would have wasted 2 hours of your life,
Andrew. I know it's kind of my job to keep up, but they're not a team that I'm passionate about, and, well, that's just bad sports right now. So,
yeah.
But on the bright side, if you want to go see the Detroit Pistons play the 76ers this weekend, according to Eric in the booth, it's only $6 on StubHub right now
for
tickets.
That is a cheap date, folks.
Exactly.
Go take a girly, you know, and just go enjoy two bad teams.
And honestly, if you get those, all you have to do is get in the stadium, because I can't imagine they're not telling everybody, just get in the camera shot
right,
so that it looks like somebody's here.
Right. They're trying to push everybody to the lower bowl so that when you got that wide shot of the game going on, you don't see empty seats everywhere. But yeah, it's just a bad situation for Detroit right now. All right, well, thank goodness I didn't have to spend a lot of time on that, folks. Tomorrow, we will invite Brooks Lambeer, Impact sports writer for MSU men's and women's soccer. Of course, the men will be competing for a chance to go to the Final Four this Saturday at noon against Providence. Brooks will give us a game preview of that. We'll have all of that and so much more on tomorrow's show. Shout out to Joe Rexroth of the Detroit Free Press for joining me on today's Current Sports. Hey, folks, we're out of time, but tune in tomorrow. Same time, same place. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic Thursday. Shout out to my brothers, too. It's Founders Day for us, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Gotta love that. And be easy, people.